take it.
How much is it?
I have no idea. Well, aren't you paying? I mean, don't you have? Does he have extra passes, or what's the deal? Hello?
Mick invited me.
Okay.
I don't know what the situation on the passes is, other than I know he said he had a pass for me.
Okay. Why is there like this big hesitation on this?
Because I'm just afraid
Why do
of,
you feel you're like
I'm afraid
entitled
of you. I'm
something?
afraid of you.
How about this?
I hope we're recording this because this is beautiful.
How about this? Let me just put it to you this way. I'm looking at a freaking picture of you, by the way, as I say this. So I'm saying this to you. Both your photograph of this nappy DJ photo with a little green highlight on your head back in the day with a black vest and a white shirt,
Oh, I
and
see the photo.
auditorily, I'm saying this to you.
Oh, this is
I
horrifying.
have been trying to get you
Oh, here we
to
go.
come to a Comic-Con, any freaking convention, and spend some time for I don't know how many years, but it's been years, multiple, like when I was married to Alana. So, you know what? If this is your time, when the Lord gives you the blessing to come, then amen to that. And I'm down, dude. I just want to spend time with you. If Mickey is giving you the golden ticket to the chocolate factory, if he's paying for your way, if he's giving you room and board, if he's buying you a new car and his people are praying to give you a Prius, I don't care how you do it. Get down here and I will spend time with you. I'm not jealous of him. I don't care what kind of a relationship you have with him. I'm fine. I just come down and spend some time with me. Am I hurt? Am I concerned? Am I worried? Dude, I'll get over it, okay? I just want to kick it with you. So, there you have
I would just like to take a moment right now, if I may. Can I have a
it. I'm
moment?
slightly hurt, but I'm going to get over it. It's not
I know. I need a moment. I need a moment.
that
I would like to apologize to Nicole, your wife, because the next 2 days are gonna suck for her. Because you're gonna go internal with this, because you can't blast me. You can't. I should, well, you can. You can't blast Mick because Mick won't answer your calls half the time because he's Hollywood now. He won't answer mine either. So don't think you're anything that I'm anything special. So I'm gonna apologize to
He didn't
Nicole.
offer my ass a
And
freaking
I will
ticket,
also.
but that's fine. I talked to him
I will also apologize to Eric Harmon,
later.
who's probably got already. Andy's probably already
I'm
typing an
already
email.
emailing him. Can you believe this?
Particularly Nicole, because this stuff is going to erupt over the next about 48 hours out of you. You're just gonna ever. No, it's cool. No, it's cool. He's gonna go. It's fine. It's cool. No, it's all right. It's great. No, it's cool. I know he wouldn't come no matter how many times I asked him. Hey,
That's what I'm
no, that's
saying.
cool.
That's what I'm
You know.
saying.
You aren't going to finish one glass of lemonade for the next 2 days. It's going to get up to your lip, and you're going to have a bunch of comments to make before you can make. Yeah, you'll be going to take a sip. No, it's cool. It's good. And its cup gets right, like, touching your bottom lip, and you're about to tip it, and you get that one eyebrow cocked, and you go, I don't know, big nappy. I mean, he won't do it. Fine. And then you'll take your sip, and then you'll put it down, and you'll be quiet for like 5 minutes, and then you'll say, so what are we doing today? And like now you're gonna have to fill the next 2 days with stuff because you can't deal with the emotion.
Well, I'm trying to deal with the emotion,
So,
so.
Nicole, I'm sorry. Eric, the email that you're about to get, I'm
I will not
sorry.
email Eric. I will talk to my
Oh,
wife
he'll
about
hear
it.
this.
I will talk to my
I know
wife
you'll.
about this.
I know your wife's gonna. She's gonna bear the brunt of
Only
this, and I feel
because I mean, you know, it's just like I just wish I had. I guess it's not logical. But the emotional responses, I wish I had that kind of pull. I wish I had the ability to get you excited enough or the situation to come. But I understand that like you said, maybe it's just the stars are right and you don't got a gig that weekend and the money's right.
that's
So,
exactly it,
you know,
dude.
and if
It's
that's it, that's it.
and it's not even a guarantee it's gonna happen. It's not even a guarantee it's gonna happen.
am your host, Andy Joe.
So for those of you keeping score at home, 8 minutes and 24 seconds is the new record for the longest we talked before the intro.
That's our intro right there. I'm your host, Andy Joe.
And I'm your host, Big Kev. From border to border, from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, you are listening to The Biscuit Show.
The one. On the BSN. The original, baby. This is it. This is the mother.
The major league of shit comedy podcasts. Yeah. The Biscuit Show.
We were doing podcasts years ago. Like, what are we, what, like 6 years ago, 7 years ago? We started the
first. I was married. Was I married to Nancy?
No. I don't, maybe.
Was it before I was married?
I can go back. I can go back. I think it was before.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Actually, it's been even longer than that because we did have, a couple years ago, our 30th anniversary Christmas special. Yeah.
So we've been doing podcasts for a while, but we just didn't have any frequency. That was our issue.
That's the thing. It's hard. But no, but part of it now, the reason why you're getting some content lately is because Andy and I are now pursuing more intentionally some careers in entertainment. So
it's kind of fun. So why don't we you want to talk a little about what you've been up to, or and then we'll talk about what I've been up to, or what we do, or is there any current events you want to talk about?
I gotta go first.
I'll go first then.
Well, we roll for it.
Okay, roll.
Okay, I rolled a 3.
I don't have dice in my...
Neither do I, but I rolled a 3.
I rolled a 2. Okay, you go.
Damn it.
Oh, goodness.
That right there, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is why you cannot play D&D online unless you have an app.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I rolled a 20.
I have been enjoying the Strategicon gaming convention. For the last 4 days or so,
and you gotta be burned out right now.
Well, here's the thing: I'm not burned out, and the reason why is because I am interested in everything. I'm interested in the board games, the role playing games, and the miniature games. So I didn't get to do enough of any of those because I spread out my interests. I had some great times, but there was tons of stuff I didn't have time to do because I was like either DMing a game or I was playing Battletech or I was doing something else. And I was like, I love doing this, but I wish I could have had a full day playing Battletech. I wish I could have played more D&D, and there's about 8 board games that I hoped to play that I didn't get a chance to. There just ain't no time, you know?
Well, because you filled up all your time.
Filled up all my time. But I have, you know... You guys can listen to the Nappy Headed podcast, and I have it all talk about in detail. But I'll tell you a little bit about some stuff. The Battletech was awesome. Like, dude.
Now, did you run that?
No. No, I didn't, because I only have a few of my models, and I don't have all that stuff up to date. But there's dudes who play it, and they gave me their contact. They live down where I used to live, and we might even get together. Like every now and then and play.
Perhaps be time for a Samba Saints reunion.
Perhaps be time for when you come to WonderCon, we might set something up. Yeah. And I'm serious, dude. Here's what was awesome about Battletech. They gave me a mech. And of course, everyone's playing like clan. So it's like clan age.
Oh, I hate that.
I know, but that's okay. Well, the good... Well, the
Inner Sphere! What?
The players were playing Inner Sphere. But since I came late, the DM just gave me one of his mechs, and the bad guys were the clan. So he handed me the mech, the sheet, had the model.
What kind of mech? What was the mech?
It was a Thor, which is a 70-ton heavy mech. You know, it's got like a ERPPC.
What's the Inner Sphere name on that one?
Oh gosh.
Or is there an equivalent?
It's kind of like a Warhammer. So if you remember with the 2 PPCs, but this one has this one has 2 ER PPCs and LRM-20 and, you know, all kinds of crap.
That's a bad mamma jamba.
It's a bad mamma jamba. So
that's the mech that I believe a guy that we used to know named Mike converted into a Mjolnir.
Yep. Yep.
By replacing the PPCs with double hammers. Yep. And he would do extra jump jets, and so he would jump and come down and do it hammer, which is jump hammer hammer.
Jump hammer hammer. That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
I apologize to everybody. This is going to be probably pretty geeky.
But this is inside baseball.
This is very geeky episode, but that's okay. So I played Battletech. So what was awesome, Kevin, was I haven't played Battletech, dude, in like what? 20 some odd years.
Yeah.
I pick up them dice and I start rolling. And Kevin, I remembered some of those locations. I don't remember all of them, but I remembered like 4 was like left arm and 8 was right torso and, you know, double ones is center.
Just get back in the day, we played without a chart. I mean, we don't do
chart. Yeah, I knew that when he rolled a 10 on an LRM-20 missiles, that would be, you know, 10 missiles or whatever. Like, you know, we knew that stuff. So it was really cool to just – I mean, dude, it brought back all those memories. It was fun. It's – what's cool about it is it actually is very simple. There's a couple calculations you do, but then it's just pretty much you go and you kill them, right?
Yeah.
You just go and you just kill them. There's no big strategy. I mean, there is, but really there isn't. And I loved it. And then I was talking to these guys, and I'm like, yeah, you know what we used to do? We used to do out of mech stuff with Mech Warrior, and then we would do the mech stuff. And then you could, you know, gain skills and increase your piloting and your gunnery. And they were,
is that like unheard of? Is that
they
like
were
a,
like, dude, I totally wish we could have done that. And I've always wanted to do that. And I'm like, that's what we
did. How could you not? The game was incomplete without it.
That's the way I felt. But a lot of people just played it as the board game and never added the role playing out of mech stuff. And to me, that was the bread and butter. Like, that's the peanut butter to the jelly.
That's like lemonade without sugar. That is no good.
That's right, dude. That is lemonade without sugar. It's not a complete recipe.
I'm telling you.
So, yeah, dude. So, in fact, oh, here's a character sheet right here. Yeah. Looking at the sheet. It was awesome, dude. We just had so much fun. And the guys were way cool. And they live in LA. And they're like, yeah, dude, we get together sometimes. So, and they had tons of figures. I mean, it's a dead game, but like, people are still playing it.
The hell it is. I see it as a crazy squirrel.
Can you still buy the stuff? I think
you can buy new stuff, Negro.
Oh, are you serious, Negro? Well,
I am not playing. I am not playing, my African brother.
I know I'm serious. In fact, I'll to be honest, Monday I went through like the cheat bins of like games and stuff, and I found the classic original Battletech manual, and I bought it. So I'm all about this, dude. I will play some Battletech. So that was a blast. And then I played D&D. I DM'd a good adventure, and that was amazing. I actually recorded it, so I'm going to put that up on, like, YouTube or something. So that would be kind of fun. And I
– you're beginning to tap.
I don't even, like, want to spoil what happened and who I met there. I want you to listen to the Nappy Headed Podcast, but, like, it was crazy, dog. Like,
did you meet somebody well known or something?
No,
or?
I met like freaky people. It was awesome.
Oh, you met you some peaches.
I met me something, dog. It was great. I'll just tell you, I met a polyamorous trio.
All right, that's enough. I don't want to know anymore.
I can't tell you about this.
I'm surprised that you, being a Mormon, even want to talk about polyamory.
No. So, okay, let me just give you the setup, and then we won't go into it. Let me just give you a quick setup. So, there's supposed to be 6 players maximum for the game. I signed up. I said players maximum 6, because 6 is like, to me, that's plenty of people to do a good role playing game. Now, a board game, yeah. If we're just movie miniatures, fine, you can have more. But if I'm gonna role play. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
If I'm going to role play and we're going to have like people get into it, then I want to focus on that and I don't need more than 6. Well, 8 showed up and they all wanted to play and I didn't turn anybody down. So I had a full freaking crew. And honestly, I've never DM'd 8. I mean, that's a lot of people.
But it's not a lot of characters, because back in the day we'd have 4 players and 12 characters.
Yeah. But I've got 8 adults that I need to keep interested, right? And keep active. And that's not easy.
Well, it's easier than one. I'll tell you that.
That's true. So we started playing. We're going, you know, and of course we start in the tavern, and I'm bombastic, and I do my spiel, and for 4 hours, it's basically I'm improv acting, right? I mean, I've got a story, but you know, I'm doing characters and voices and crap, and they are loved. I mean, they're just eating this crap up. Like, I guess they don't really have good DMs, or you know, they're used to.
I don't think DMs like you exist in nature. It's only in captivity. So
they get really into it. And then I noticed this one couple, and the guy and the girl are kind of cozy, and they're kind of like cozy.
By the way, I you don't have to tell me any more about it, other than I bet you a dollar, without you saying another word, it's one girl, two guys.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know it's always a guy taking the cold shower.
Yeah, exactly. So she goes, yeah, well, me and my husband are here. Or she says I'm her and her husband. I'm like, okay, cool. But she pointed to the guy across the table. This other dude who was like this dude who was just not even paying attention. I mean, he was playing the game.
Let me guess. The biggest nerd at the table was the husband.
Probably. Yeah. Kind of quiet, mm-hmm. really quiet. Role played the wizard, was really quiet, you know, whatever. And I was like, what? And so we took a little break.
Man up!
And I was
Man up, homie. Don't let your woman do that to you.
And I was going, what's going on? I'm like, what do you mean?
Oh, that makes me mad.
And I go, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, yeah. She goes, oh, we're polyamorous. Like, that's my husband, but this is our husband as well, or lover. I don't know what she said. Something weird.
Oh, and that makes me want to throw something. No.
And I was just like, what? And I was like, I go, hang on. I'm like, hold up. I'm like, hold up.
Here's a little biscuit fast fact. Biscuits can't let something like that just go by.
Oh, wow. No.
We got
oh,
to make
no.
a scene about that.
Oh, no, dude. I'm all, hold up. What are you talking about? It's like, oh, well, this is my husband. We live here. But this guy is our lover or whatever, and he lives in Canada. He's like, yeah, I live in Canada. So I'm like, and I look at the husband, and he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what the freak? I'm just like, okay, girl, we got to talk about this later.
Well, all I know is husband best have – never. No, no, what am I saying? What the hell am I saying? I was about to say he best have him a woman. No, it ain't right. It ain't kind of right. It ain't any part of right. No.
It's crazy. Well, and it's kind of like – here's the impression. It's like, okay, you go to a con, you have your lover dude come from Canada, so it's going to be just all up in him for now because I get the husband all the time. It's almost like a booty call that he approves of, basically.
Yeah.
Right? Because she's not giving the husband any time. She's giving the out-of-towner all the attention, right? Because that's the only time they get to see each other. So he gets... You know, so she gets the booty call, and he gets
the air mattress and the cold shower
for the next two nights. And then when he goes back to Canada, then he'll be back to what he gets or whatever. It was crazy, dog. So I was like, "What?" And no one else caught it until I brought it up, and everyone's like, "Oh, blah, blah, blah," you know.
I think that's fun of you to be out and about with it.
That was crazy. Anyway, I was tripping, dude. I was tripping. And you're talking to the polygamist here. If I was freaking, if it was legal, I'd be wifing up people. I'd be wifing them up.
No, you wouldn't. And I can solve that for you. I can take that out of fantasy, make it reality.
If it was legal, I know. Yeah,
I could take that out of fantasy and make that reality for you right now. You want to hear how I do it? Okay. Take the situation where your first wife, right? Take your first wife, and instead of divorcing her, just add your second.
No, dog. Come on, dog.
Come on. Come on. That's what it would be.
You trying to make me cry?
Am I wrong, or is that not how it would be?
Let's change the subject, because I'm already getting upset about
it. Speaking of that, we have to take a commercial.
Okay.
Because I have to go put the laundry in the dryer.
Now, okay, bye.
While I'm doing that, I fully expect that Andy ain't going to cut tape.
No, I will cut because I need to plug in my laptop.
All right, let's get. So listen to these words from Crazy Squirrel Game Store.
Okay, so back. We're back. So that was fun. Anyway, it was such a freaking blast though playing. And of course I knew this was going to happen. You know, they schedule the game for 4 hours, so that's how long you've got.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, 4 hours, I'll make four acts.
Is there like a warden that comes in and runs you off the table so that the next people can have it, or?
Well, yeah, well, no, not a warden, but you know, other games are starting and other people have other things going on, right? Like they have other things scheduled.
Yeah.
So my game was scheduled from 8 to midnight, and about midnight we had got a little over halfway done.
Oh, and wow!
Like, snap, dude, we aren't only halfway done, but everyone is like, you know what? We got to finish this. We're having so much fun. Let's do this again Sunday night. So, and I find out that never happens. Like, players never come back for another night. It's just unheard of. So that was a nice compliment. They all loved it, had a good time. And, so we did round two, 2 days later and finished it up. But, that was fun, dude. It was fun DMing. I enjoyed it a lot. You know, I played a, Savage Worlds game, which is another type of role-playing system, and it is really fun and really easy, and it's like perfect.
What's the genre?
It is open, like an open source or whatever, so you can do whatever. I did a modern story with it.
Oh, you ran it?
No, I was a player.
Oh, okay.
And I realized that I really like DMing more than being a player, but it was a great system. Let me tell you just a couple things about it, which I liked. The initiative is all done with cards. So you get a stack of cards, like a deck of cards, normal, just poker cards, and everyone just flips over a card, and that determines your order. Ace is high, right?
No.
No, hang on, but it's kind of cool, though.
No.
I like it. And then if you get the Joker, you decide where you want to be, and then you have to reshuffle the deck. Otherwise, you just keep going through the deck. So you'll never get the same initiative. It's kind of a cool random. I kind of liked it. And the other thing that's cool is you get what's called bennies. Maybe bennies is maybe it's like benefits or something. But you get these chips.
The hell is this, Vegas D&D?
Oh, it's cool, dude. I'm telling you, it's really good. It's a really cool system.
I guess I shouldn't crap on it.
I know, don't crap on it yet, dude. You get these bennies, which could basically be an opportunity to re-roll a dice at any time in the game. If there's a dice you want to re-roll, you get it. And you get bennies, but the DM gives you bennies if you do stuff. So I was a role play. You know, I worked on a Russian accent. I did all this stuff to really get in the role playing. The DM straight up just started giving me bennies for being a good role player. So you get like, they're kind of like hero points, basically, where you get to use them to modify roles. That was cool. And the other thing, the dice are really easy. You just roll your one die, whatever it is, either a 4, a 6, a 10, depending on your skill level. So instead of getting a skill level like 1 through whatever, numerical, your skill level is determined by the type of dice. So if you are good at something, you might roll a 12 die. If you're not that good at it, you'll roll a d4 on something. So that's kind of fun. And then you always get what's called a wild card die, which is a D6. So because you're like a hero of the show. There's the heroes of the show, which are the players and then main villains. And then everyone else is what's called an extra. And extras don't get wild dice. They're basically red shirts. They just get one shot and they die.
Okay.
It's really simple, but it's really good. And I dug it. So I played that.
So you could be a superhero in that. You could be a
Could do whatever, and it's very popular. It's actually really popular, and it's recommended to be the go-to role play system for new guys too. For new people who've never RP'd, they say go to Savage Worlds. That's
no,
the one.
You go to D&D because you learn it the honest way.
Well, that's what we did, right? So that was
tired. I am tired of people trying to shortcut the system. This is the way it's always been. It's the way your granddaddy played role play.
Right.
It's the way your daddy played role play. That's how I played role play. And son, that's how you gonna play role play. That's how I taught my daughter to play role play. First thing we gonna do is we gonna go to D&D.
If you can't tell me what THACO means, you're not a role player.
How are you going to tell me something?
How you going to tell me about role playing until you don't know to hit armor class zero? Okay. How are you going to tell me that?
How are you going to tell me?
How are you going to tell me about the Muppets, son, without knowing about pigs in space? Okay. Tell you what. I got a joke for you.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you now or no? Or
was this the fat joke thing?
Yeah.
Well, you want to hear my opener for tomorrow for the next two nights?
Okay. And then you want to hear my joke after
that? Yeah. Here's my opener for the next two nights. Hope everybody enjoyed their Fat Tuesday, or as I like to call it, Tuesday. there you go. It's hacky.
It's hacky, but it's good.
Right now I'm working. See, this is what I'm working on for those that are listening. I'm working on hacky one-line fat jokes that are self-deprecating, and I'll give you the context, because this is why. Because Saturday night I was telling the story about my brother Ken, and it's the same story I told on the Kevin Harris Explains podcast, Kevin Harris Explains Combat, which is available on the BSN, the Biscuit Show Network.
That's right, and I listened to it, but okay.
Anyway, so I'm telling that story, and I'm like, my brother Ken is actually pretty a lot bigger than me, and I heard somebody snicker off to the side. I said, somebody's bigger than me. So I just spun like Don Rickles. I go, oh, you waiting for the fat jokes now? Is that what you like? You like the fat jokes? Okay, well, here you go. Here's one. And what I said, which was, I didn't think it was that funny. It might have been. But I'm not the biggest loser. Okay, there you go. But I thought, I need to have just a file cabinet of hacky, self-deprecating. Yeah.
Just as defense.
Just ready to go for that moment, because it's gonna happen.
For battle.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
For battles. For kind of a hecklery type of situation.
Yeah, not a heckler, but just crowd.
Or just a crowd.
Yeah.
Well, here's my joke. I do like that. Here's this one. It's very, but you would have to sell it. You have to sell this.
Well, yeah,
it's all attitude. But it's basically you say, how's it going? So I've noticed I've just started gaining a little weight recently.
Oh, it's not a. Oh, I thought that was a setup.
No. But see, the point is, okay, the concept.
That's like an opener.
Yeah. The concept is, you have always been big.
Yeah.
Right. Like big people don't just become big. They've been big their whole life. But if you say something like, you know, I just noticed I've been gaining a little weight recently, right? You maybe got to say it that way. I've noticed I've gained a little weight recently. You know, just recently, I've noticed I've gained a little bit of weight.
Yeah, I'll kick that around. I'll see what
I can do. Let's think about that. But you'd have to, like, say deadpan and not even say anything after that.
Yeah, I do a lot of that, actually.
Just leave it.
If you notice, I do a lot of that. I do a lot of just... And let it hang out there.
Yeah. But, and then the third thing, the exciting topic of the Strategicon was I hosted my first open mic.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. In fact, I'm going to call, there's a bar down here in downtown. I'm going to see if I
can open a room.
I'm going to try to open on Tuesday nights, Biscuit, and a comedy open mic in Ventura. I'm going to go for it.
Do it.
I'm going to do it because there's no workout rooms here. The only place to workout comedy is freaking L.A. now because the Ventura place is now – they're not doing open mics because they're cheesy. And I'm not going up to Santa Barbara to play in front of a bunch of college kids. I want a local place where local comedians or people who don't want to freaking go down L.A. can just do some material once a week. And I think – we can get people to show up. So I'm going to go for it and try it.
I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah. As if nothing else, I can work on material and give some other comedians to freaking get a chance shot to work stuff out. Right?
Well, you have to. You have to be able to.
So. So I'm going
to
ask
around. And that's the reason I'm finally getting into it. Now, I have always wanted to do this, but there was never anywhere to do it. The one time that there was ever a comedy, really a room in town, there was this this guy that was running a room. I wish I remembered the guy's name, but he's
Not George, who did the karaoke.
No, not that idiot.
Sorry, George, if you're listening, we do love you.
Yeah,
we do love you.
That
George,
was just me. There you go, George. That's for you. So, nobody's going to get it, and I don't care. So, this guy, he's like, he had this spot where they were bringing in comics. So I call him and I'm like, yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do. I mean, is there a chance that I can? And he just like stopped me. Listen, I run a room for professional comedians and these people are paying money to come in and see this. By the way, I got to back up. I got his phone number from the club. I called the club to see what the deal was. Like, oh yeah, this guy runs it. Give him a call. And see what's up. And the guy, like, was just rude as hell.
Yeah.
He's all, how much experience do you have? And I go, you know, I've been a performer for a lot of years. And, these people, you know, are paying to see professionals. Dude, it's still Fresno is what I wanted to yell at him. But, you know, I'm not, yeah. You know, I don't diss anybody until I – but anyway, so that thing – that actually swore me off. I just felt like I was going to get that from anybody. So little did I know that he's just an asshole. So
I hear you, brother.
So that's why I didn't do that. So you want to hear about my weekend or what?
Well, can I tell you real quick about the open mic?
Sure.
I didn't get to talk to you about it.
Okay.
It's okay. So think about this. You're at a convention where people come off from all over, fly in here, prepared to play games.
Yeah.
Like they invest money, time, effort into playing games.
Well,
so me trying to get them
some people play games.
Me trying to get them to break away from that and come to a comedy show where normally they might do it, but they had no plans to do it, is a hard sell. And I made flyers. I handed those mofos out. I asked everybody, you know. But half an hour before, when you listen to the podcast, you'll hear my concern. I was like, dude, I don't think this is going to work. Like, I don't know if anyone's going to show up. And I'm here like a jackass trying to get people to come to this stupid thing. It turned out not bad. Not bad at all. We had about 60 people there, which isn't bad at all.
No, 60 is workable. You can work 60.
60 is not bad, dude. I've performed in front of two people, so I'll freaking take 60. And we've got eight comedians. We had eight people, and like four of them have never done it, and they were pretty funny. In fact, the people who hadn't done it, maybe I shouldn't – well, I won't – I'm not going to diss anybody. But when you listen to it, I'm actually going to post the whole show up on audio form. So
you better have permission. You can't do that with
permission. No, I asked all those guys. They're fine.
Okay. All right.
So you know, if
yeah, I can't wait then. I want to hear that.
It'd be fun, right?
Yeah.
And it was good, dude. I was stoked. It was a lot of fun. You know, I did that game show. Did I tell you about the game show and all that stuff?
You didn't really fill me in on it at all, but
well, I did a freaking
Please continue to tell me stories.
Are you? Oh, I'll let you.
It's not. I'm here and I'm listening.
It's your turn.
I am your wingman. I am on your wing, brother.
I'm just excited, dude. So I was doing this. I did the show. I did this freaking. Okay, let me just. Explain. I got this guy at church. Wants me to do a newlywed game for his company because I invited him and his girlfriend and a bunch of other friends to my house to do newlywed game. I've done this once or twice before with Alana, where basically, you know, I come up with some cockamamie questions for the men and the girls, and I ask them questions, and, you know, the newlywed game at my house. Yeah. We have a freaking blast. They want me to go to the company and do the same thing for their people. I'm like, sure, no problem. Of course, I didn't think about getting paid. I just did it for fun. We had a freaking riot. It was 2 hours. 10 couples, and the people were just freaking in stitches. And I realized more than ever, I want to freaking be a game show host.
Dude, you would be pretty good as a game show host.
I am so stoked about freaking being game show host.
And you, there's a long history of Mormons as game show hosts, actually, believe it or not.
Who? Biscuit?
Well, there's one, Ray Combs.
Who's that? What show?
He was Family Feud after Richard Dawson. He's the guy that killed himself.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a stand-up comedian, and he also appeared at WrestleMania 8.
Maybe I won't do that. So anyway, I had a freaking blast, though. It's like crowd work. It's like kibitzing with people, making fun of them. I mean, but it's all like very – it's just a really fun, light humor.
Yeah.
And so I had a blast. I actually did some of my set to warm them up before. So I get a call the next day from my friends. They say, hey – everybody's been talking about this for days, and the manager wants to hire you and book you for a comedy show. So I'm getting my first paid gig, and they want to hire me for two more Newlywed Nights in a couple months.
That's
so
right.
So I'm starting to get some paper. So I had a great time hosting. So then I host an open mic, same thing. You know, I'm having fun. The comedians are laughing. The comedians are doing a great job. I get that. Basically, you know, it's just like what you do, right, as a professional.
Yeah.
You get the crowd going. You get the crowd amped. And that's a lot of fun. Heck, I want to now DJ weddings. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, you just let them – you just get them all ready, and then you let them have their fun.
Right? You just let them have their freaking fun. So I had a blast. And that was my time. You can listen to more at the Nappy Headed Podcast for all my strategic con craziness, and I'm not even going into half of what happened. So let's hear about you. I want to hear about your second time up on stage as
– It was like my – I've been up – that was my third time. Well, yeah, second and third.
Okay.
There's second and third. I did two sets this weekend.
I didn't know that. So give me second and third.
No, I did an open mic, and I did my first opening act.
Well, tell me about it. Tell me about tell me about the open mic.
Well, the open mic was good. It was at Fat Boys Comedy Club.
That's not the Kerman place.
No, that's not the Kerman. No.
Okay.
No, I was up at Fat Boys. We might have talked about this. Didn't we talk about Fat Boys?
No.
No, you know what? We didn't, but that was 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago that I went up.
Tell me a little bit about it.
It was good. There was this one guy that was sitting front row with his woman. There was very few people there that weren't comics, and there was this guy sitting front row, and he was just like drunk and Mexican, and being a drunk Mexican.
Drunk and Mexican.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. You know, okay, dude, it doesn't matter how fugly your girl is. If you're a drunk Mexican, nobody can look at her. Right? Am I wrong?
I hear you.
You got family. You remember. So this guy is sitting literally a foot from the comics where we're performing. So, of course, one of the guys by the name of Dave Broussard, good comic, he goes over and he starts doing some crowd work with the woman, talking about, you know, but he was saying she was hot. And I think he made some joke like, you could wrap your legs around me twice, I wouldn't hear a thing. What's up, girl? That kind of thing. Just messing with her. Well, the dude, like, he wants to fist fight. The dude didn't want to argue. He was getting, and so the rest of Dave's set went from haha funny to I'll meet you in the parking lot, man. I don't even care. And so I get up pretty soon after Dave, and like, I got to deal with this guy now.
Right.
So I just do this whole thing where I'm like, see, sir, I'm looking eyes with you. I'm not looking at her. I'm looking eyes with you because I respect you.
I remember that.
Yeah. So I did that.
Watch this. That's right.
Yeah. So I did that routine, and, the subtext of that, which people don't know, is that it was part of my recovery is not ogling women.
Yep.
And I had a couple of guys from group, and actually one of the guys brought his wife that was there. And so they were getting the subcontext of me doing that. Anyway, so that was that. And then this last Saturday was my first spot at, on a show that was not an open mic. It was similar. I'm doing something similar tomorrow night at Ty Palms, which by the time this is up, I doubt anybody will have a chance. But if it's up, yeah. if it's up on Wednesday, then go check us out at Thai Palms or Fat Boys on Thursday here in the Fresno area. But anyway, it was headlined by Ken Lewis. I don't know if you know Ken. He's a pretty decent guy. He's more of a radio shock jock. He's a radio shock jock that does stand up as well. I don't know if he's a shock jock. He's a radio jock. I shouldn't sell him short. He does a pretty good job. He's a funny guy. So he's the headliner. Danny Minch is hosting. Danny's actually Eddie Trevino's roommate.
Okay.
So Danny goes up and, you know, he tells me, hey, I'm going to introduce, I mean, I know you got some you've done some shots, but I'm going to introduce you as the quote local comic, as opposed to these guys that drove in from Clovis.
Right.
We all drove the same damn distance to get here.
Yeah.
So, but still he wanted to introduce me as the new guy, but somewhere in there he had seen Kevin Harris Explains Himself, the show, the one man I did.
Oh, and he did. Oh, cool.
He either saw it or Eddie saw it. And anyway, he mentioned that he really heard good things about it. And so he, when he gave me my introduction, he goes up and he says, and now here's, here's Kevin Harris. This guy, this next comedian, he's a local guy. He's done a few shots. He's doing really well, but he also is a performer that does a lot of shows in the Tower District. So he's also a transvestite. Right. So of course, me being me, and this is also the first time where I'm not just getting up from my table and waddling up there to do it.
Right.
I'm actually in the back room and coming out to get a full entrance.
Right.
Well, I'm ready to make the entrance, and he introduces me. The crowd. So of course, the improv in me. He called me a transvestite.
Okay, you roll with this.
So I walk out and I get all flamboyant and I start doing an Adrian Adonis routine.
Right.
And you know. And I think I, you know, Danny Minch, everybody, my vibrator. So that was my opener for that.
That's cool.
And then I just tried to go into, I'm working really the set I'm working on, because the one thing that the best advice that I've been given lately is I got to pick a set and go with that set and quit doing something new every time. So I'm working on the set I'm working on is a lot about my grandparents. It is some of the same material covered in Kevin Harris Explains Himself.
Nothing wrong with that.
But it's, you know, some of that, and that's what I'm working on. And that's what I'll be doing for the next two nights anyway.
Well, cool, dude.
Well, so I go into that, but dude, I swear to God, you're not going to believe this, but right after I start, the microphone starts screwing up.
What?
I am not kidding you.
What the freak? Why? How's that happen?
I don't know. I don't know if I was too loud for the limiter or what. Because it was just a mic plugged into a little amp. It wasn't anybody manning it. So I'm sitting here. You know, I get up and I'm a loud mofo. Let me tell you something. When I'm DJing, I have to dial my mic back to about one dot. If there's 10 dots in the circle around the mic, I'm at one dot. The normal guests that are doing their toasts are at about 5. So I dial that mofo back for me. So since there was nobody governing it, I just get up talking about, hey, how's everybody doing? You know, my normal loud.
Right.
You know, I'm not.
You're doing your thing.
Biscuits are not known for being quiet.
We're not quiet people.
No.
We're not quiet people. We don't know how. We literally cannot be quiet.
No. I mean,
I've tried. It does not work for me.
When there's more than one biscuit in a
forget about it.
Radius,
forget about it.
It's over. You know.
Well, people loved playing board games and stuff. Like I was playing like Werewolf and everything because I'm so loud and bombastic and like rolling dice. Yeah. You know, when I'm playing Battletech, people are cracking up, but I'm just like, dude, this is just how I grew up playing this game.
It's dude, just I know like exactly what you're
standing
saying.
Standing up, rolling, getting loud. I'm like, what do you mean? You don't do this when you're about to roll a positive crit? This is how we do it. We stand up, we sing a song and dance before I roll posi crit.
Dude, I know exactly.
Posi crit.
I was with the guys from my men's group at church. We were playing stupid Farkle dice. Have you ever played Farkle dice?
No.
It's not stupid. It's a fun little party game. It's about like Yahtzee.
Okay.
It's about as complicated as Yahtzee.
Okay.
And it's my turn. So I did that. I did the normal, which is to us normal. I get up out of my chair. I go, all right, Biscuit, here we go. Yeah. And I start shaking them up. And I kind of start shaking my butt, shaking my leg. And they all start busting up like, what are you doing?
That's like, just how you do it.
What's this war dance? Like, and I'm not even doing the full thing. I haven't rubbed them dice on my nuts. I haven't called out for Andy. I haven't, you know, Andy, this is for you.
Oh, snap, dog.
Which is all exactly how we used to do. And that was mainly a BattleTech thing. It did happen in the other games, but that was a BattleTech thing.
That's hilarious.
Because that was the one thing about BattleTech that I remember more than anything. There were times you just needed rolls in BattleTech.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it was light. Those dice were life or death. D&D, you could survive most. There weren't that many rolls that were, okay, if you throw this and you don't do it, he's going to kill you.
Right.
That was rare. BattleTech, every game. If you don't blow this guy's ammo, if you don't get a headshot right now, you're toast because you got to.
And the death meant something. It's not like now where, oh, I'm in fourth edition, I'll die. Okay, no problem. I get back. I get resurrection spell. I got enough money or whatever. No, dude, you're dead. You're dead. That's months, if not more, time and energy and love gone. That's respect, dog. You got to respect the death, man. That's what we need, more death.
That's what y'all don't know. Y'all don't know nothing about putting a heart and soul in a character who can only do something moderately impressive compared to the NPCs and then die and never have any power to come back. You don't understand real role-playing.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
See, that's the thing, dude, is I do get why they have... Well, these characters are extraordinary. You know, they're not... There's not 100 of these characters walking around in this given world.
But still,
I mean, I like, you know, Andy, for Andy as a DM to give out a magic item, by golly, you write a page in your journal about this day because it ain't every day getting a +1 dagger.
Oh, heck no. +1 dagger is like, that's like freaking... Yeah, very rare. Yeah, my worlds have always been very low magic, very low, like, you know, this ain't Harry Potter. This is...
If you can cast a fireball, you really something.
It's almost the real world. Like, it's like one step over from the real world. Yeah. It's like...
Like, if you brought in Doctor Strange to Andy's game, he would probably be a level 5 magic user.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, that's pretty good. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. That's Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme. You know what's crazy though? I looked up the stats on Brunner Battlehammer from Crystal Shard. He's only like a level 13.
That's a lot though. In second edition, a level 13 is massive.
But I would have thought he was like level 20 or something.
Really?
And like, I don't even think Wolfgar is a level 10.
Really? Now that's kind of surprising. Yeah. I would think he's kind of bad mumbo.
Yeah. So anyway, that's pretty much been my stuff.
Well, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, we got 2 shows this week, which first time I've done multiple shows in a week.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I really am looking forward to it because I really want to. I'm going to try something out. I'm honestly doing it backwards though, because I'm doing Ty Palms first, which is the more high profile gig.
Yeah, that place is evidently the local spot.
Yeah, it might as well be the improv for Fresno. I mean,
Fresno.
Yeah. But, dude, Fresno, we got a hopping little between Fresno and Selma, Visalia, Porterville. There's a hopping little comedy community happening here.
I've been telling you. I know.
And that's why, you know, I was telling my good friend and mentor, Alan Autry, today, who is Bubba from In the Heat of the Night. I was telling him today when we were when we met at Starbucks for a brief moment, just so we could exchange phone numbers. I was telling him that the comedy community in town has really taken off, and you know, he blessed it. You know, he said, "God bless you, brother."
What's that mean?
That's what he told me. He said, "God bless you, brother."
Oh, well, God bless you, Kevin.
But he needed to make sure that he needed to make sure that he had my phone number for that movie that's coming up that we have the callbacks for. That's coming up.
What are you talking about? Did you audition for something? Or what's going on?
Oh, I didn't tell you about this.
Tell me about it. Are you making this up? Or are you serious?
No, this is the truth. Back in August, I'm being an ass. Back in August, I auditioned for those of you that are not in the Fresno area, look up In the Heat of the Night, because you probably never watched it. Because one thing about biscuits in the 90s, we weren't watching much network TV. Mm-hmm. But there was the show In the Heat of the Night with Carol O'Connor, and one of the deputies was a guy named Bubba, and he was played by former football player Alan Autry. Well, it turns out Alan Autry's from Fresno. And it also, well, he's actually from Riverdale, which is a small farming community outside of Fresno.
We don't need to get in that detail, but yes.
But just like California was dumb, and because Arnold Schwarzenegger made some movies that somebody heard of and decided to elect him governor about the same time, Fresno elected Alan Autry mayor for 2 terms.
Huh.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying Alan Autry was a bad mayor or whatever, but I'm saying the reason he got elected was because he had some name recognition.
Right.
I don't know. That might be bad to say. This might not be the best idea.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You're keeping it real.
That's how I've always thought of it. But anyway,
right.
Alan Autry, and you know, by all rights, he's a nice guy, and he did not do a bad job as mayor. That's the other thing, is he did not do a bad job. He was actually pretty decent, but he's unlikely. You know, this guy's a big old bodybuilder type.
Right.
Do you hear the backtrack? Do you hear the sucking up and backtrack that's going on in this? So anyway, now that the political shit's over, Alan also has an actor studio here in town. I know. He also produced a movie called The Legend of Jake Kincaid. Now, he did this in the early 2000s, recently re-released. You can see it currently on Netflix streaming under the name Forgiven. Now, it's definitely a local, low-budget production. But
it's got heart and soul.
It does, and it's, you know, it's a fun picture to watch.
It's a fun picture to watch. It's a good romp. No, it's got good heart. It's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. Right? And so. Jim Tuck is great in it. Jim Tuck is a good friend of mine. And he was in it. He actually had a major part in it, and he was really good. So anyway, so Alan's making another movie right now, and he had open casting calls. So back in August, I see the call, and I looked at the parts, and there was a part that looked good to me. It was actually, it's like this homeless guy who's crazy and childlike and has something wrong with him, so he's like retarded. Yeah, go ahead and yawn in the middle of my story. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Just, yeah, enjoy yourself.
You are supposed to not hear that.
Have a good time.
I'm sorry. You weren't supposed to hear that, dog.
That's right. I cough incessantly on this thing and don't mute it. So anyway, Alan's making this other movie. I can't remember what it's called, but I go and I audition for the part. And at first he says, okay, we're going to read you. That's how he talks. We're going to read you for the part of Chewy. I think it was like Chewy or it was Chico. He's going to read me for the part of Chico. And I'm like, isn't Chico a Mexican? And I'm all, well, okay, cool. But I kind of prepared for this other part whose name I don't even remember. Other than I remember that the big line is, give me back my teddy bear. So I work myself up and I get this all worked up. I get this character in my head and I've got somebody that I used to know that was, you know, kind of retarded that I can use as a reference. And I'm remembering this and I've got all my, because I'm pretty seriously into this. And so I get up and I do the audition and Alan goes, man, yeah, good, strong choices. You are a good actor. He tells me just like that. And so then, because there's also like some, the homeless guy's jam, I pull out the harmonica and I show him that I can play harmonica a little bit.
Right.
And he, the whole time, he's just, yeah, all right, yeah, yeah. It's pretty hilarious. So that's back in August. I don't hear a thing about it.
Right.
Give him all my contact. Don't hear a thing. So now where are we? We're mid-February. Well, this morning I was meeting a guy from my men's group. Have you noticed the theme that I spend a lot of time with the guys from my men's group? Anyway, meeting a guy from my men's group this morning to go for a walk at Woodward Park. And I'm right there at that Starbucks and sitting there talking to somebody very animatedly is Alan Autry. So I don't think I, you know, I'm not going to go over, hi Alan, you know, but eventually he gets done and he's leaving. He's walking right by. Hey, you know, so I introduce myself again. Hey Alan, how you doing? I remind him that I auditioned for the picture. And he goes, yeah, you know, we're getting ready to move forward on that. We're going to do callbacks next week. I need your phone number. And so I give him my number. And he goes, okay, here. And as I give it to him, he goes, I'm going to call you right now from my cell. And he did, and it rang. Right. And he goes, if you don't hear from me by the end of the week, I want you to call me. I've got freaking Alan Autry's cell phone number.
That's pretty awesome.
Isn't that pretty cool? So
that's pretty awesome.
So I'm a big deal. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
I'm a big deal. And on that note, I need to go to bed.
That's a good hour.
It's a good hour. I'm excited to hear. I'm not going to be going up on stage probably all this. I need to go up maybe Thursday or Friday, but we'll see.
It's okay to take a little break.
Yeah. Well, I'm performing. Let me give you my dates. I'm performing next Wednesday at the Ventura Comedy Club. I'm going to be one of the middles there. So I should probably go up once or twice before. I might just do that Monday and Tuesday. So if you're in the Ventura area, Wednesday, the 29th, leap year day, at 7 p.m., I'll be at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club. I'll be at Flappers on March the 23rd at 9 p.m. And I'll be at a corporate function, which you will not be able to go to later on in March, and actually making money. If you guys want to just hear me or listen to me or come see me, I'll be at various open mics down in L.A. Just holla at me at The Biscuit Show. podcast@gmail.com, and I'll let you know where and when I'm at. Also, if you're interested in this podcast, you might be interested sister podcasts.
Let me give my dates real quick. I'm going to be...
You get your dates, okay.
Tomorrow night, the... What is today? Today is the 20th. Today's tomorrow Tuesday. Night, the 22nd, I'm going to be at... Wednesday the 22nd, I'll be at Ty Palms. And then the 23rd, I'll be at Fat Boys Comedy Club in Fresno. You're going to be able to find me a lot of Thursday nights, just about every other Thursday night at Fat Boys Comedy Club in Fresno, plus various other open mics around the Fresno Clovis area. Hit me up on Facebook, Kevin Lee Harris, or on Twitter, Harris Lee Kevin, or Harris Kevin Lee, whatever it is on Facebook. You can link to it off of the Biscuit Show page. You will have my dates. I'm out just about every week. Just depending on availability.
Excellent. If you enjoy this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to our sister podcast. We have Kevin Harris Explains, which you can find at Podomatic. Is it on iTunes?
Podomatic puts it up there.
Okay. And you can find mine at Andres Salas' nappy-headed podcast. Check it out. I talk all about Strategicon. And this week I'll also post the open mic show, so if you want to listen to that.
So, and coming up, looks like you're going to be able to find us at WonderCon, potentially.
Potentially, some of us will be there. I might be there. And it sounds like Kevin's going to be there.
Yeah, it's looking in that direction.
Cool. So thank you all very much for listening to another Biscuit Show, the original, the only, the Biscuit Show. I am your host, Andy Joe.
And I'm Big Kev, and once again, here comes... some music that Andy picked.
Oh, come on. You pick some Adele, and then I'll play that.
Playing no damn Adele. You know what? Actually,
she's good. You'd like her. She's a KLH special. Don't even lie.
Dude, I actually have some jokes about Adele.
She's KLH.
Did you hear my jokes about Adele on the podcast?
No, but I'm going to stop this. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.